It's time for our Wednesday morning conversation. I'm Jeff in the Morning, and I welcome Aaron Ray to our studio this morning. Aaron is the Lincoln County Opioid Settlement Task Force Coordinator, and I'm hoping that we're all going to learn something here this morning and be a little bit more empathetic toward our fellow human beings after this conversation. Aaron, thanks for being here with us. This is going to be an important chat.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, strengthen community, stories of hope and healing. You are invited to a community conversation. The Lincoln County Opioid Task Force invites you to a community conversation about substance use and how together we can foster hope, understanding, and support for individuals and families. There have been a couple of these already. There was a virtual get-together back in February. There was the T.B. Scott Library meeting in Merrill last month, and here in Tomahawk this month on April 8th, 6 o'clock till 7:30. The location will be the Kinship House downtown Tomahawk for our next community conversation. Aaron, thanks for being with us this morning, and I want to ask you a couple questions about some of these that have happened before we get to the new one, okay?
Sounds good.
Describe the virtual get-together, the Merrill get-together. I'm sure both had a lot of things in common. What are you seeing in these community get-togethers talking about this substance abuse issue?
We've had some really great conversation. We've had some attendees that have lived experience. We've got some that are medical professionals, others just community members that want to listen and learn. And the dialogue between the different groups that are represented has really led to some good conversations.
In your role as the Opioid Settlement Task Force Coordinator, I'm assuming that we're talking about money that came from the Purdue Pharma folks, right?
Correct. So we're using some of that money for this. It's part of a larger project. We also got additional funds through a group called Vital Strategies, and their focus is harm reduction and reducing stigma.
So at these get-togethers earlier, did you see a lot of, was there, the number one thing that people, we found out that stigma is the number one thing that prevent people from seeking help about this problem. And so the people that were there obviously have overcome that stigma for the most part, but there's still a lot of people that haven't. Is that what you saw?
Yes. And so the purpose of the conversations, we're providing some education around the common myths with substance use. You know, for example, that it's a choice. And so we're talking through the facts behind these supposed myths and really trying to break those negative thoughts and behaviors towards mm-hmm. people with substance use through these conversations.
I shared my story with you. The last time I was on a table with a doctor standing over me with paddles, he said, "There is no reason for you to be alive. I hope you use your days left on this planet for good because you obviously still have some work to do down here." And so one of the ways I take that serious, Aaron, is I've shared my addiction story. I'm an alcoholic. Thank goodness in recovery. I've had a few slips since November 26th of 1994, but you just pick yourself up, get back going, and get back in the right direction. That's really all you can do. So as far as stigma goes, that's in my past. I have no problem sharing this, and if I can help one person get over their situation, I'll consider it worth my while. And so if more people come forward and share these stories, I think we can get rid of that stigma. I think other people are going to see that there's really no reason to be ashamed of this. I'll admit, Aaron, I drank my first beer by choice. I did not become an alcoholic by choice. And that's something that people really need to understand. These are not choices that we make to get into these situations.
Correct. It's a chronic disease, just like if you had diabetes or blood pressure issues. You know, the substances change the chemical makeup of the brain.
Yeah.
And it takes time and support to overcome that. What's really neat is there are a lot of peer recovery services now out there, and we're working with a couple groups as well to bring some of those more locally, because it does help when you are talking with someone who's been there and understands what you're going through to seek that help.
What were the, my first question on my note sheet this morning, during the substance use assessment last year, stigma was listed as the number one thing of the top five risk factors in Lincoln County for substance use. So what were the other things that were on that assessment that you were looking at besides that stigma coming back? What were some of the other responses that you heard?
So with the stigma, about 50% of our respondents believe that substance use is due to weak willpower. And view the medications for opioid use disorder as trading one drug for another. So we do talk about that at these conversations. Some of the other risks are the availability. and the community norms, especially with alcohol in Wisconsin. You know, the settlement dollars are focused on opioids, but substance use in general is really what we're working to combat.
It's really an issue, and I want to make that clear. I'm glad that you said that. So when we're inviting people to the get-together on April 8th, it doesn't matter if it's opioids, alcohol, whatever substance that somebody is addicted to. That's not really the case as far as getting answers, but what it's all about is just getting there, and if it's about substance use of one kind or another, those are the people that you'd like to have at this next meeting.
Everybody. You know, and not even former users, current users, people just in the community. The people that really need to hear this message are those that maybe don't think they're affected by substance use in any way.
Why is that? Why do you say that?
A lot of the people that have come to these previous events that are familiar with substance use, they're still getting a lot out of the conversation. It's been really good feedback. But really, we're trying to reach those people and help them to understand that, you know, the 50% that feel that it's a weakness or a moral failing. We really want to reach them and just ask them to have an open mind and learn and ask questions.
Working to reduce stigma through education, awareness, and compassionate conversations. And talking about a situation is the way to get to the bottom of it. And more importantly, is having understanding. So people that want to come to these meetings, maybe if somebody in your life uses a substance of one kind or another, maybe somebody in the family, somebody in the neighborhood, whatever, just anybody that wants to get real education on get rid of all the myths and all the hearsay and all that kind of stuff, want some real answers, this is where they're going to be able to get an April 8th.
Yep, and part of the presentation as well, we talked to those who do have lived experience, and we put their voice in a lot of the presentation so that it gave real context to how people are feeling.
Was most of the feedback in your prior events, was it all about the opioids, or did you hear a little bit about other substances as well?
We heard about alcohol. Meth is extremely common in Lincoln County, so we did hear from some former meth users. But the great thing has been the positivity everyone has walked away with and feeling like there's hope again.
So, okay, that's a great topic here right there. So people walked in, maybe different people than they walked in when they came to these events.
Yes.
That's got to be a great goal to have from your end, I think. That's what you're really looking for here, to really get into people's minds and give them some real information so that they can make better decisions going forward.
Correct.
Good. So reducing these things and these conversations that are going to be have specifically naloxone campaign, naloxone trainings, and community conversations. Can you break those down a little bit for us?
Sure. So from mid-January to just a couple weeks ago, there were four billboards in Lincoln County related to naloxone and how you have the power to save a life. Naloxone can be carried by anyone. It's an opioid overdose reversal medication. So we're trying to provide some education around that, as well as providing training for how to administer naloxone.
How do people get their, I would assume they'll learn how they can get some that they can have themselves in case the situation presents itself where they're going to need it.
Yeah, so okay. I will have some overdose emergency kits with me at the conversation April 8th, and then we have some community naloxone trainings coming up towards the end of the month and in May, and we'll be giving them out then as well, or people can stop by the Lincoln County Health Department and pick a kit up.
Let's see here. Anybody that is thinking about attending this event and they're sitting on the fence, I want to give them some good reasons to have some good positive reasons to really come to this meeting. What would you tell somebody that's saying, you know what, I think that I would like to learn more about this. I'm not sure I want to go and with a group of a whole bunch of other people, because there's got to be, stigma is out there, so the stigma can go in a lot of different directions. So if somebody just doesn't want to be seen at something like this and have other people talking, I can only assume that that's got to be in at least somebody's mind out there. What would you tell somebody like that?
We don't require that you join in the conversation. You can sit and listen. You don't have to share your story if you don't want to. Lots of people have. One of the probably neatest things I've seen in these conversations we've had so far is we had a lady come in with a family member who is an alcoholic and was just lost as to how do I help? Mm-hmm. And to see those in recovery and the conversation they had with her and just kind of almost wrapping her in their arms and helping her from their point of view. And then I was able to speak with her as well as a family member of an alcoholic.
And I think that people that attend an event like this have some empathy in their heart in the first place. They want to be able to help. They want to have some understanding. They don't want this stigma to be out there. And for whatever reason, they want to help somebody, whether they're in that situation themselves, helping themselves or helping somebody else. I think that people that attend these events are going to be surrounded by other very well-meaning people and no fears needed.
Correct. And, you know, in the beginning, we say no judgment. Assume anything said is said with good intent. And we're here to listen and learn.
From the county standpoint, from the task force standpoint, are you seeing the kind of numbers attending these events that you were hoping for? Have they exceeded your expectations? Has it been a little disappointing? Let's talk a little bit about that. How many people have been showing up for these things, and is there room for more?
There is definitely room for more. Unfortunately, the Merrill one was held the day after
the blizzard,
the big blizzard.
Yeah.
So I did not have the attendance there that I was hoping for. But again, the people that came really made it a worthwhile event.
Okay.
And I'm providing food.
Oh, okay. So that's always a good thing, too.
Worst case scenario, come have a sandwich, a soda, and a good conversation.
From a personal standpoint, you just shared that you've got some issues in your family yourself. And so as this is your job, I'm curious, how has this helped you just being involved in this? Has this helped you getting some more understanding dealing with the situation in your own personal life? Has it been a good thing for you personally, Erin?
It has. So I have no professional training in prevention, in recovery. I took this on as just really wanting to make a difference in the community. I've got teenagers that live here in Tomahawk, and okay. I want the world to be open and empathetic for them should they have issues. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to think about that, but really, it's a scary world out there right now, and we just need to be supportive.
Yeah, the more information we have, I consider it like an armor. The more education and information we have, that's like an armor for us. It's a sign of strength. We have this information that makes us a stronger person, gives us more knowledge, and we can make better decisions, and that makes a better community altogether. So if enough people do this, it really all works together, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm just curious, some of the other stories, you shared one quick little story about how the group just wrapped themselves around this one person who was seemed to be at a loss. Any other kind of touching personal stories that you're okay to share on the radio here this morning?
You know, we are working closely with North Central Healthcare right now, too, to provide those peer support services that I mentioned. And one of the gals is actually a local Lincoln County resident. She's actually come to a couple of the conversations so far, and she's working with some of the inmates in the jail for a substance use education class.
Okay.
And her comment has been, I've made a negative impact in my community. Now I want to make a positive one.
Oh. That's a beautiful sentiment because I can't remember the context, but I was listening to another podcast or something like that, or I read an article about something about this topic in general, and so many people are locked up in this world of, I'm worried about what this will look like if I make this public, and I just don't know that I want to deal with that right now in the society that we're living in. That's a legitimate feeling that a lot of people have, but events like this can help people get over those, and if it takes one person at a time, I'm assuming you're going to consider it very successful.
Very successful, and I think we've already made an impact.
How do you plan on carrying on? Now, I'm assuming this money's going to run out eventually here, but the situation, the issues will probably still be around, so is there any way that you can look forward and say, okay, once we run out of this money, how are we going to maintain this situation, especially if you see positive momentum going forward? Have you given that any thought yet?
So we're constantly looking for additional funding opportunities. We do have a strategic plan out there, and we're creating another one that looks at those opportunities. Naloxone right now, there's a Narcan Direct program that once we run out of our current supply, we plan to apply for, which would provide the health department with free naloxone to distribute to the community.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking for additional funding to be able to have these conversations. And we're really focusing on initiatives that we feel are sustainable.
I think our country, true or false, Aaron, I think our country has learned a lesson about these opioids and the abuse of them and the overuse of them. I've been trying to stay up on this as good as I can, and the way I understand it, doctors were presented, they were given a bill of goods. They were saying, okay, this is a drug that's going to make a difference. This is going to take pain away from your patients. Doctors don't want their patients in pain, so yes, they're going to do everything they can. Nowadays, they don't prescribe this stuff as freely as they used to, because with time comes education, learning experiences. And so if anybody that's been frustrated going to the doctor looking for pain relief, you don't get it as easy as you used to. And so there's a lot that goes into all these meetings. And I would assume if anybody has any kind of questions about how we got here, are those appropriate at these events as well?
Of course.
Okay.
You know, when the opioids were first put on the market, the pharmaceutical companies said they were non-addictive.
Right.
And it's come out that they knew they were, and yeah, that's where these settlement dollars have come from. But it's also being very aware that, say you've had a surgery, your doctor does prescribe the opioid. It is okay to take as prescribed.
Yes, as prescribed.
However, yeah, if you don't need that level of pain control, stick with your Tylenol, stick with your Motrin. You know, just be aware of the potential consequences.
You know, one thing I wanted to bring up, but I just didn't have the chance here. I was going to talk about genetics. People that have this stigma, sometimes you have a set of genes that you inherited that predisposed you to these addictions in the first place. So people that are looking to blame, we should take that away, because there's no blame game here. This stuff comes natural for some people, and some people it doesn't. And that's just life.
Yeah, and I forget which TED Talk it was that I was listening to on stigma, but they used an analogy. You know, we could give 100 people an opioid, a pain med. Most of them are going to say, okay, it worked, but I don't need it. There's going to be a handful that just that one time, they're going to go, ooh, I really like that feeling. And it just, that something in their brain and the yep, chemical makeup of their brain starts to trick them into thinking, no matter what the consequence, I need this.
A lot more to be learned and a lot more to listen to. Tomahawk, April 8th, 6 o'clock till 7:30 at the Kinship House in downtown Tomahawk. There will be a lot of good conversation, some good food promised by Aaron Ray here this morning as well. So if you can rearrange whatever schedule you may have to this to go to this event, I'm sure it's going to be well worth everybody's while. And I hope some more good stories come out of that, Aaron. And please stay in contact. Let us know what's going on in any more of these events. We want to be a part of getting the word out about them. And I hope it's a packed house at Kinship House on the 8th.
I do too. Thank you for having me.
Aaron Ray is our Lincoln County Opioid Settlement Task Force Coordinator. Again, Tomahawk, April 8th, 6 till 7:30, Kinship House, for that conversation right here in Tomahawk next week.